I helped you already.
What kind of professor are you?
One that fails students who don't do their homework.
And with that, we are live. Welcome to...
Wow, yeah.
I just took a page out of this thing, pretty smart.
Yeah, that's why I always look at the screen.
Welcome to episode 109 of Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. I am one of your co-hosts, Sojo, and I am joined by, I would say Miss Think Petty Smart, but she's not petty, she's Think Pretty Smart. But we do have Professor Petty Buddha.
Professor High Standards Buddha.
And we are here on a Tuesday evening, back on our normal schedule. Ladies, what's been going on? Y'all got beverages? What's the deal?
Hold on. I have a beverage. I have, what is it? Grapefruit vodka and grapefruit juice.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Buddha, what you got going on over there?
I have Grand Marnier and orange juice and a bottle of water.
Well, I am the only one that is sober, so I guess it's appropriate that I am driving the bus.
Sober? Somebody's drinking doesn't mean they're drunk. My God.
I actually am drinking a high C orange drink, which I haven't had, like soda or anything like that in a while. That may be why my heart started that thing a little bit earlier, but it's so good. It reminds me of my childhood, that high C orange that you used to get at McDonald's. But anyway, that's what I have. How's it been going for you all? How's this week been so far?
For me, so far, so good. Mostly, work is work. People don't know what I do, so I won't mention that. But it's a, work is work. Let's just say that. Yeah.
You straight over there?
Huh?
I said, Buddha, you straight over there?
Yeah, I am. I'm in the state, but I'm out of town, so I'm in a hotel today. But
going back to your roots.
Yeah. Yeah, work is work. It's been an easy week so far, and it's going to be busy tomorrow. I have to work after the podcast, and then it'll be a light week. I'm also teaching more classes this semester, so that's going to be interesting to see how this goes. The university just started back classes on yesterday. So
what do you do for your students that don't read the supplemental text?
We shall see.
How many are you gonna fail this?
I record welcome podcasts for my students. I post all the resources. It's up to them whether or not they use them, but I certainly point them in the right direction.
Well, if you are Google Plus friends with her, she will put them in your Google your Google group, and then let you see whether or not you're gonna actually read them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have feedback for the week, but just so you guys know how to shout us out, we do have an email address, which is feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. You guys can also hit us up on iTunes and Stitcher, and also Podomatic. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, and we will probably read them live on air, depending on what they say. You can also leave us comments on the Podomatic page as well under the podcast, and we'll read those too. You all can also tweet us, and our Twitter handle collectively is @WhiskeyWineMoon. And we have been getting some feedback just from last week's show that I kind of wanted to follow up on, because one of the things that we talked about last week was my trip to Jeju Sauna, and I was surprised by the number of dudes that were asking me for the site because they were going to send, like, the women in their lives to the spa.
Oh
yeah, and I thought it was really nice, so I just wanted to tell you guys, if you were looking for that, the website is Jeju Sauna, and it's Jeju Sauna, SAUNA.com. But I did want to give the disclaimer that I hope you were listening carefully to the podcast last week, that they do have co-ed sections that are fully clothed. But if you're on the all-male or the all-female side, it is a new area, so I don't want you're sending your mama there or, you know, your wife. You getting cussed out because they had to strip and they hadn't properly groomed and they mad at you. I mean, you know, it could just get real messy. So I wanted to make sure that if you didn't listen carefully to the podcast, that you, you know, made sure that they were aware of that before you send them.
Mm-hmm.
Smart, you sent us a question earlier in the week about what were we going to put in our
writer. Yeah, so I was listening to Breakfast for Dinner. Shout out to Nicole and Dago. And they were talking about, like, rappers, writers, and for those not familiar, a writer is basically what a performer requires be provided in their dressing room. And so I was thinking, like, if we did a show, you know, what would each of us require for our dressing room? Now, obviously, whiskey, wine, and moonshine. That's a no-brainer.
Of course.
But the question was, so you guys, what would you need in your dressing room as far as, you know, delightful things, you know, things that will make your stay or your time there more comfortable?
Who do you go first?
Okay. Well, you know, I had to look up some examples. But I ended up making categories because I think also it depends on, you know, I have friends that are performers, so they have to be in the same space for several days or weeks sometimes. So I was just kind of thinking about, is it one day, is it long term? But so one category is things that help me relax. So that would be candles, playlists that have like jazz music.
Wait, what kind of candles? Because you have to be ridiculously specific. Like
you do, but I'm not today.
Okay.
So candles. Playlist with jazz and classical music, a nice view, you know, depending on where we are, and natural lighting, a good Cabernet, which, you know, we can figure out all the details later, and napping supplies, so pillows, blankets, earplugs, eye masks, things like that. Things to help me be cheerful, so some of my favorite essential oils, even though truth be told, I carry those with me, it would be nice to have that sprinkled in the air. So lime is one of my new favorite scents. Playlist with salsa music and funk music. And again, a great view and natural lighting will also help me be cheerful. Things to help me think. So interesting books. And actually, I wouldn't overprescribe the books because I'm always going to have my Kindle with the books that I know that I want to read. But just other things. It'll be kind of interesting to see what people think are good things to read, so books and magazines, and then super fast internet access, not this stuff that I get in the hotels, and then things to help me stay energized, so a DVD player with the television. I always travel with my exercise DVDs. A yoga mat would be nice, even though I have a travel yoga mat. I like a full-size one better. Orange juice and coconut water so that I can make my energizing, when I say hydrating, motivating for a run or whatever, I have a specific thing that I mix, but I don't want to have to carry all of my juice and coconut water. And then fixings and a blender for my green smoothies, bottled water, and some yummy snacks. So that's kind of the general list that I made. Mm-hmm. What about y'all?
Soldier, what about you?
I put, let's see, my list doesn't have any particular order, but I put an extra MacBook charger and an extra Samsung 5 battery that's already charged. Uh-huh. I put fast internet access, water, a blueberry muffin scented candle that's made by the Food Network. You can find it at Publix, but that's the specific scent I want. Pillows, lots and lots of pillows. I want an electric blanket. I don't want just a regular blanket. It has to be electric blanket. Lavender oil. I want headphones, not earbuds. I hate earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
Freshly laundered footed superhero pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Grapes, lots of grapes. Of course, I want moonshine, but I would actually prefer wine, Pinot Grigio, and lots of Lay's plain potato chips. Charcoal pills and Percocets, just in case I have a hangover or, you know, something like that. Gotta get the toxins out of my system. Roast beef sandwiches on white bread with just mayo and mustard. Simply lemonade and simply orange juice with no pulp. Fresh fresh organic French roasted Colombian or Ethiopian coffee, Bailey's creamer or organic half and half, mints, Starburst, and Reese's cups. But if I get the Reese's cups, I also need them to be separately packaged, and I need to have a separate assistant that is just assigned to take away the Reese's cups.
Yeah.
When I start to overdose on those. So that's my list.
Okay. Well, I would need Nature Made Chewable Vitamin C. I would need Chewable Vitamin C tablets. I would need Nature Made D3 gummy tablets. I would need, some Z-Quil to go to sleep if I need to go to sleep. I would need this makeup remover. We'll put the brand in the show notes, but it's this rag that you can use to take off all your makeup, and it really, really works. I would need a scent, like I would need some type of lavender spray. I don't know which brand off top, or even a homemade spray. I would need Wheat Thins, the basil and tomato Wheat Thins. Need those. Deer Park water, none of that Fuji crap. Definitely Deer Park. And I would need a clothes steamer. White sheets, or at least white sheets of a thread count above like 1,000, because that's not anything I like to play around with. I also need a handy vac, because I like to tidy up my own space. And I would also need, what is that stuff called? Dreft, the spray Dreft that removes stains, a Tide stain stick. Now, you guys may see a pattern here. I happen to be very clumsy with food and drink, so I'm always obsessed with having things to remove, stains. I also need at least 3 different flavors of those EOS lip balm things, because I'm going to lose the first 2. Okay, I also need a cushy chair, also preferably white, assuming that I'm going to have on white. If I'm having on dark clothes, I need a dark chair. A cushy chair and dark napkins, because one of the things I really hate is getting like room service or food at a restaurant and they try to put a white napkin on your dark clothing.
Ooh, yeah.
I'll also need an iPhone 6 charger or above. I'll also need a speaker for my shower, a Bluetooth speaker, and I will also need a Bose system that docks for an iPhone 6. That's it.
Right. I don't feel like our requests are unreasonable.
Right, I don't feel like they're unreasonable at all. So, I mean, if we said, like, okay, we want a bag of Chips Ahoy with only 3 cookies remaining, the last 3 cookies, I mean, because that's unreasonable.
I feel like when Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine goes on tour, that that those things can and should be gotten for us.
I'm looking at the dressing room stuff for David Bowie, and he talks about a 12-cup Mr. Coffee machine, 6 coffee mugs made of china, a fruit bowl for 3 people, including apples, oranges, mangoes, fresh orange juice, 9 large Evian, a supply of boiling hot water, honey, lemons, and cutting board with a knife, makeup mirror with good lighting, a full-length mirror, rolling clothes rack, 12 towels, 2 boxes of tissues, a 110-volt power supply, an outside phone line, and that's for him. And then he has a separate request for the band dressing room.
Oh, shucks now.
But see, some of that stuff seems like common sense, like it would automatically be like tissue. Unless he wants a specific brand of Puffs Plus, wouldn't tissue already be in the room?
I don't know, because like, who is this?
Situation where it wasn't there.
Yeah, because Aerosmith has one where he has artist dressing room number 1, which includes stereo system with a tape and a CD player, comfortable size sofa, comfortable upholstered chairs, 2 of them, 1 coffee table, 2 end tables with working lamps. And he goes on, 4 ashtrays, but then he has artist room number 2. And then he has a separate artist and hospitality room. And one of the things that in Aerosmith's, it says, please have the dressing room sanitized in the afternoon prior to artist arrival. Empty all trash containers prior to artist arrival and again before the end of the show. All dressing rooms must be fully stocked with necessary paper goods and soaps. These rooms are for the exclusive use of the artist and are not to be used at any time for any other purpose, such as local crew bathrooms.
Don't be pissing it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real specific. So all dressing room facilities must be air conditioned or heated, with the ability to adjust the temperature independently from any other facility areas. So, yeah.
So y'all know I had to Google Beyonce, right? First of all, she has, she has Jo Malone or comparable grapefruit candles, the room temperature to be set at 72 degrees. I need 76, 75. She says all of her food to be served on a crisp white tablecloth, all white furniture, 2 bars of Irish Spring soap. I just didn't see Beyonce as an Irish Spring kind of gal.
I think that's just trolling right there.
Well, that might not be for her. Like, right. Some of the other people have stuff for other people listed.
Crazy. Well, they don't have her. So I would want Dove. And you know what? Forget. Let me not talk about Dove since that caused a Twitter meltdown.
It did cause a meltdown. And I also use Dove, and so does Blue. So I guess we're not really black. But anyway, keep going.
But she did have stuff like the room must be baby-proofed, you know, for Blue or whatever. Let's see. I mean, her demands are not unreasonable. Like, I feel she does have like three small trash cans with liners, a blender for her smoothies.
Oh, you know what, you guys? What I forgot? Covered trash cans, particularly in the bathrooms.
Oh yeah,
I hate opening trash cans, especially in bathrooms.
So yeah, I mean, I think our list might be more demanding than Beyonce's.
Well, but it's less demanding than Prince, who says 1 box of Yogi Cocoa Spice Tea, 1 box of Celestial Seasonings Herbal Tea Sampler, 12 bottles of Fiji water, with 6 of them being room temperature.
He said none of that Deer Park crap.
Right. Well, that's what one of the other ones said. Was I think it was Eminem that said no Evian specifically. Meanwhile, who is this who has 24 bottles of Evian? Nin. Back to Prince, 6 individual bottles of cranberry juice, 6 small bottles of organic fresh squeezed orange juice, 6 cans of Pepsi, 6 cans of ginger ale, 1 sliced fruit tray, 1 container of hummus, 1 bag of pita bread, 1 bag of Jensen's Orchard veggie chips, 1 bag of tortilla chips, 1 jar of salsa, 1 box of Kleenex, 2 scented candles, for example, spices, jasmine, or lavender, 6 towels, and then he has a separate list for the MPG women.
Oh, all right, my tie.
Right, yeah. So, and they get 1 scented candle. They don't say which scent, and 12 towels, among other things. So, Outkast has a pretty long list, and they want serving for 6, so they tell how many of each of things. 1 quart each of grape juice and apple juice, a 6-pack of Coke and Sprite, 12 bottles of kiwi strawberry, 1 case of spring water with 12-ounce bottles, no Evian in all caps.
People are particular about their water.
Yeah, they are.
Men are more demanding than the women.
Yeah, 1 small jar of peanut butter creamy only with an exclamation point. 1 small jar of Hellman's mayonnaise, 1 loaf of white bread. So this is Outkast. Important, please be sure to use proper china, glass, and dinnerware. Linen napkins and table coverings are required. No plastic, paper, or styrofoam. Yeah. They're not playing with y'all.
No, they're not. So we're finding out that men have more demands than the women.
Mm-hmm, because Jay-Z requires a humidifier.
Oh.
And a microwave.
Wait, I can see if Beyonce needed a humidifier.
Mm-hmm. He might have asthma.
Okay, I'll give you that. Well, now let's start that rumor. Get it on Twitter. Jay-Z has asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about you guys in the audience? You all can tweet us what would be on your list at Whiskey Wine Moon. Or if y'all have a really, especially the dudes, since y'all seem to be more demanding, if you have a really extensive list, we don't read Twit longer. So you can...
We really don't.
You can email us your list at feedback@whiskeywineandmoonshine.com or hit us up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get into a couple of topics that we've been discussing. Well, we haven't really been discussing it, but I have been discussing it in WhatsApp because I have faithfully been watching I Am Kate every Sunday since it's come on. And every Sunday since it's come on, I always give you ladies updates. So you
unwanted, unsolicited updates.
I just want y'all to know what's going on with Caitlyn Jenner. Well, what's happened in this last episode is that first of all, let me talk about her whole transition process. First of all, the show itself really is very educational. It's not just about her. There are other trans women that she's connecting with, and it's almost like she's being hazed in the trans by trans sorority or whatever, and her pro-fights aren't really feeling her because she...
Sorry, worthless human. Trans by trans?
No, I'm just saying. She really is being hazed, but what they're saying is because she is so visible that they don't want her out there speaking for them unless... You know, she basically that she has an understanding of what the lifestyle is like for everyone. Like you come from a certain place of privilege already. You know, most trans people don't have the privilege that you have. So before you get on this platform, you need to understand other women like you. So it's actually been very informative in that sense, and I'm glad that she has other people around her that are kind of checking her privilege a little bit. Like there were parts where people were talking about how people get kicked out of their homes or they lose their jobs. You know, when they go through transitions, and she started talking about that whole Republican thing. Well, I don't want people to just get a whole bunch of handouts because then they just won't work. And everybody was like, girl, mm-mm. You know, so she gets checked. But in this last episode, the Kardashian girls actually visited her because they were talking about basically the aftermath of what's happening with the family when she came out with the Vanity Fair article. And really what we saw in this episode is that she's still finding her way, but she's kind of, like, selfish and, I don't know, like, almost in a way where that people were trying to explain. Like, she has a friend that was trying to explain that sometimes when people go through transitions that it's similar to, like, a midlife crisis or a girl going through puberty, but she called it Transilla. That's what the friend called it. But it made me, because it was like she's all about hair and makeup now. She wanted voice lessons, and she wanted this, and she wanted that. But she really wasn't dealing with the inner stuff or what she could have possibly been doing with her family. Because, yes, she's standing in her truth, but she's still a 65-year-old adult with children that she still wants her to call her dad. I mean, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff. So, anyway, with the girl going through puberty thing, I was noticing that she was really trying to, I guess, find what connected with her femininity. And I was going to ask you all, as cis women, when do you...
No, as women.
You know, I had to. When do you most feel like a woman, or when do you connect most with your femininity? Like, is there a certain time when you say, hey, I really feel like a woman in this moment?
No, because I don't know how it is to feel anything else.
Well, let me talk about the femininity part, because you can be a woman and not necessarily be feminine with it. When do you connect most with the feminine part of being a woman?
Right. What I'm saying is I've always been very feminine.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I don't have anything really to compare with. And my brother will tell you, like, looking at old home videos of me before he was even born. And one day he said, my gosh, he's always been this way. I have. This is just who I am.
What about you?
Probably when it's warm, especially if it hasn't been for a while, kind of like that time when it comes from the winter, when the winter turns into spring, or when I have endorphins, so after working out, or when I feel relaxed, or, you know, like when I don't feel like I'm harried about anything in particular. All those times, or when anytime I feel like I'm being indulgent, so taking my time doing something I really want to do. So sometimes that's cooking, mm-hmm. when I feel like I've been busy and my mind has been a lot of places, because then I can just focus on that. Sometimes it's shopping, and like grocery shopping, if I know I can get like vegetables or things that I'm excited to eat if I've been eating junk food for a while. Anytime that I feel like I have the opportunity to treat myself or really connect with warm weather or a joyful experience, I feel more feminine in that moment.
Yeah, because when I was watching the show, I noticed how she was all about the clothes and all of this stuff. And you know, I think I shared a picture of you all of me when I was a baby in the WhatsApp. And I have always been in my mom's closet, like with her shoes and, you know, things like that. That's always been something that I connected to, that I still do as an adult. But I also went through a tomboy phase when I was in high school where I was hat to the back and my pants keep sagging, you know, that kind of thing. But I never felt like a boy. I still felt like a woman with it. But then now that I'm older, I find myself in moments really connecting with the fact that I'm feminine and I'm powerful, and mm-hmm. it's usually in moments where I am, like you said, almost like maybe something that's slow, or I'm indulging myself or relaxing or even interacting with people and realizing that I am, and I think we talked about this too, changing the energy of the room
mm-hmm.
with my femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think it's something that I've practiced. I think that I'm more aware of it, but I do in that moment say, whoa, I'm a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was wondering if you all had those moments as adults, or do you even recognize that that's happening?
I definitely recognize it more now. I would say probably since we started WhatsApp, when we started doing different practices on purpose, the poise and pause and all that kind of stuff. But now,
what about the poise and pause? Because they may not know what we're talking about.
Do we want to give it away right now?
I mean, not the secrets, but I'm just talking about, you know, the poise or the shit.
Well, I mean, we just talked in general really about how you can do things physically that center you in a space or that help you be more poised or be more centered or be more connected to yourself. And so we used to practice some of these things, like in the grocery store or wherever we were, trying them out in different places, which was fun. And so I definitely noticed that I felt more connected then because we were doing it on purpose. And so it's interesting now, since you asked that question, that I notice it now. And I wonder how much of it's just that I'm older, so I pay more attention to the times when I really tune into it, or if I tune into it more strongly now. Because it's one thing, so Blue and I, you know, if there's a television on and there's an older woman, I always point her out when her poise is very obvious. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the fact that, you know, for instance, there was one show, and I don't remember what it was, but there was a woman, and she had like four or five daughters, and her daughters were beautiful. But this woman was so elegantly poised, and even though you could tell she had taught her daughters and they had all this posture and everything, you can't teach the poise that she had because it comes with age. So it's kind of like you see some older women that really, really settle into being fully a woman, and I really can't explain it, but you just see it, and you look at them, and you're like, damn, like, you know. So it's like, I don't know whether it's just that because of the age and so you feel it, or I don't know, but I feel like I'm more going in that direction now from when I was younger, and maybe it was, you know, sexy and feminine, but in a fiery way, and now it's more in a smoldering way. So it's just interesting.
Mm. And I think that's the conversations that they were kind of having with I Am Kate, because it seemed to be more aesthetic, like she was concentrating on the aesthetic part of it, when that's not really it. Like, that's not really what the womanhood part is. I mean, yeah, you can be pretty, or you can, you know, paint your nails, or you can, you know, whatever, but when you're talking about just that presence and that calm, or, you know, whatever, is something that you can't really take a class for. Like, I think she was trying to concentrate on, well, if I get vocal lessons, then I will be able to pass more as a woman. And I'm like, this is not the vocal lessons, you know.
Okay, but that might be it for her. I mean, because, you know, I don't I don't know that my version of womanhood or femininity stretches across the board, and maybe for her that is what she defines or what would make her feel more feminine and more womanly, you know?
Comfortable in it, you mean?
More comfortable in it, but more more committed to it.
Mm-hmm. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
I mean, it might just be getting the outward appearances until you feel like you can continue to embody it in a different way from however she was embodying it previously. I don't know.
Well, speaking of femininity, too, there was a conversation on Twitter about clothing in the workplace. feminine clothing in the workplace. And there was a Twitter discussion going on because it happened to talk about really thick girls and basically what was proper work attire and what was not. Mm-hmm. And it kind of went left a little way because, I mean, you know, there's some things that are office appropriate. There's some things that are club wear. And apparently in 2015, I think that there's like this blurred line of what is what. But I think also part of it, too, was like what I started to see from some women was it was like there was some pushback to the overly feminine woman versus the dressed down woman with the femininity part in the workplace. And I wanted to know what you guys think about that as far as that discussion, because you know it happens with women in the workplace, because we do look at each other's clothes. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, men look at our clothes, too, as I've, you know, expressed to you guys, but...
is overly dressed, though? I mean, unless you're on the back floor and you got on a lace skirt, I'm not sure.
Now, I'll tell you what overly dressed is. Overly dressed is that I wear heels every day, and I usually wear a blazer if it's not a full suit, or at the very least, a sweater. And, you know, it is, I can stand in front of a room of people and command attention. I don't look like the audience. And so a lot of people take that as being overly dressed, and that's not really an indictment on me. That's them. You know, if somebody's saying someone else was overdressed, then what they're really saying is I'm not as high as what I think your standard is.
Right.
And I think we had this conversation about the fact that I love heels. I love skirts. I love dresses and all of that. And I work in an environment where that's not necessarily mandatory or that's not necessarily the regular practice.
Right.
So I will get comments like, oh, I don't see how you can walk in those shoes. Or, oh, you must. I told you guys the other day, somebody was like, oh, do you even repeat outfits? Or, you know, things like that. And a lot of times, for me, it seems like I don't necessarily look at somebody who doesn't dress up any differently than I do someone that does. Like I you know, I peep game. If somebody, you know, is dressing and, you know, doing whatever, it's fine. And if they don't, I'm not necessarily like, why aren't you dressing, whatever. But it's like the comments always come when you are dressed up as opposed to when you're not.
Because they want you to apologize for it.
And there's a difference. Let me be clear. There's a difference between wearing a bodycon dress or a club dress to work.
Right.
And that, and you saying, oh, well, somebody's, you know, talking about my femininity in the workplace. No, they're talking because you are dressed like you're trying to get into VIP.
Right.
In the workplace. That's different. But when you're talking about, you know, someone who is wearing heels every day when you don't necessarily have to wear heels, or when you're wearing a skirt when everybody else is wearing, I don't know, power pants or, you know, whatever. I don't know.
I think the root of it is, I mean, can come from several different places, most of which have nothing to do with the person wearing the fancy clothes.
Right.
Well, then also a comment going back to the, there was an echo. Hello, testing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing too is sometimes, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, that sometimes things can be race related with clothing in the workplace too. You, oh, sorry, still echo. you can see sometimes that you may have somebody who's a minority wearing something and never get any pushback, and then someone who's a non-minority wearing the same thing and not necessarily too tight or not well cut or, you know, whatever, and they are getting pushback as well.
Wait, explain that again. Are you saying that, like, a black girl can wear something and she'll get pushback, but a non-black girl can wear it and get away with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely seen that. And I'm not talking about something that's ill-fitted, because, again, I'm not talking about wearing club wear to work. I'm talking about, like, for example, I can see someone, and I actually have seen it in schools when you look at dress code. You can have girls who are black not be able to say wear the same clothes
mm-hmm.
the girl who's white can.
It's interesting because I haven't seen that yet, but I imagine that something like that's going to happen. So, like, my stepdaughter, sometimes she will have on something that I, you know, is on the borderline of the school dress code, and she's like, all my friends, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and it's just like, okay, well, you're going to have to learn about the real world. It's not all your friends don't look anything at all like you.
Yeah, so. Like short lengths. I'll get, you know, an example mm-hmm. with short lengths. Sometimes black girls can, you know, you may have, okay, the dress code is shorts to your knees or shorts to your fingertips, and shorts to your fingertips for the black girl may look different than shorts to the fingertips for the white girl.
Mm-hmm.
The white girl gets to walk down the hall into the class, and the black girl is sent to ISS to change.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, because, you know, black girls are far more sexual, you see. And white boys or black boys can't resist her
mm-hmm.
in those clothes. Even though, let it be told, they can't resist white girls either. So it's a whole bunch of confusion.
And again, that just goes to, you know, things that happen in school can end up translating into the workplace, because you can see some of those same judgments and some of those same ideals happen when you go to the workplace. And there may be, you know, the dress code for corporate may be, you know, below the knee. And then you may see, okay, well, white girl is wearing above the knee all the time, but then the black girl wears her skirt above the knee, and then she's sent home. So you definitely can see some of those things happen.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, yeah, it definitely happens. I am never really mindful of what I wear, whether it's appropriate, and maybe because my quote-unquote work clothes are work clothes. You know, like, even so, you guys may know, ooh, echoes, for like 5 years, I could wear jeans and flip-flops to work.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's
sometimes
right.
When I had to walk somewhere or whatever before or after work, I might go in with flip-flops, but I would put heels on. And again, blazers and necklaces and jewelry. And there was a white girl, we were about the same size, and she talked about how, you know, I dress so well. And then she started to copy that. But, and then by at that point, I had moved on to doing something else. But there was a sense in that particular office of shock that a black girl would dress that way.
You mean blackly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there were some older black women there, and they probably didn't get their hair done. They probably, like, they didn't ever bother to put on lipstick or anything. It was just roll out and go. And then the women in my department, basically the same deal.
Hmm.
So not to say that they dressed badly.
Right.
But it just wasn't, like, they couldn't, if I were a reporter, I felt confident that if I need to sit behind a desk and do the news, I could, no matter what my bottoms were. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Do you feel like, do you feel like a white woman who did not take the time to dress as professionally, do you think that she would get pushback for not dressing up? Like, you're saying that people looked at you as if you were the anomaly of how a black woman would dress in the office, which means that by what you're saying, the white women were dressing similar to you.
No, they weren't. They weren't. Nobody, and this is what I'm saying, the HR chick wore a mid-thigh jean skirt.
You got echo.
Is that me?
I don't hear it.
Okay, keep going.
And she wore a mid-thigh jean skirt,
and a summer like wife beater. It was a color, and flip flops. I mean, they all rolled around like that, like jorts and all sorts of ridiculousness.
You didn't say jorts.
I did say jorts, and I didn't stutter.
What are jorts?
Jean shorts.
Okay.
Somebody's phone near the thing.
Mine is it. Oh, I think yeah. That was just the podcast rebelling against your use of jorts.
But yeah, so it was like they all did this black and white. And then I come different. And actually, like my first month or two, maybe even longer than that, I wore like dress pants. And like the first week, I probably wore a couple suits because I didn't know. They told me casual, but I didn't believe. Because I thought when you say casual, I think business casual.
Right.
Right.
So, but they meant like I had worn in there some jeans with a ripped knee. And some heels and like a blouse and blah, 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 blah. And I was like really concerned over the ripped knee. No one cared. And then as time went on and I knew I was going to quit, I wore an Adidas track jacket and matching shell to Adidas.
You pulled that out from the vintage.
You yep. Were fresh groove.
That was vintage right groove, there. Yep.
And another time I wore a members only jacket because my office is really cold. And, like, literally, I think you guys may remember this, literally right before I was about to quit, I had ordered, actually, I did wear my Boycott Sal's t-shirt from 40 Acres and a Mule.
Yeah. I remember you talking
about it.
And I
also had ordered the my Public Enemy t-shirt, but I never got a chance to wear that.
Oh, my God. I think that I'm finna say fuck it and quit.
Yeah. The I'm finna say fuck it and quit outfit.
And the vintage members only.
Wow. Yeah,
well, the members only jacket, though, I've had that for years. But it wasn't anything I would wear to work.
But so how much of that then is race related versus just people's? Let me think what I want to ask. Versus just how they relate to either work or being a woman or themselves, or I mean, I don't know which of those things. But like for instance, when I first became a teacher, my initial dress code was to dress like all the other teachers, which were to wear, I didn't have one, but I looked at the ugly.
You didn't. Oh my God.
The ugly cardigans and all that kind of stuff, you know, the khakis and the tennis shoes, because everyone else was doing it. And then after a while, I was like, well, I want to wear sexy boots and long skirts. And so I just started, even though I was an elementary school teacher, you know, I would have, you know, the dad saying, wow, that's your teacher, because
your daddy,
you when I was coming up.
Well, I started dressing like I felt comfortable instead of like what everyone else was doing, which right. is what I thought I was supposed to do. I started being more myself. So I just wonder if they just relate to, is that the culture? Is that them? Do they just not? They're not interested in looking a certain way, or you know.
Well,
I'm just curious.
Here's the thing I said in the beginning. Like it's for me, it's not about what the other person is doing with themselves. It's more so the why are you dressed like this kind of comments that come just because they're not dressed like you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, like, I feel like if that's how you want to show up, like, if you want to show up like that.
But cool. They must not. I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to get to is... Either is it that they want to and feel like they can't, or like what is that? Where's the disconnect between there's a problem with this? It's not that people are different. It's that somewhere someone doesn't like the fact that they're different. And so why are they different in the first place, I guess?
Well, I do want to go back and just say something about the job I was at for 5 years. I started out a couple months after a young lady on my team, a white girl, and she too dressed really, you know, professionally. And I think what we had in common is that we had good jobs and we come from places that required some dressing up. I mean, and a lot of my coworkers, many of them, I mean, the CEO of the company, and I love her to death, but that's the only job she's ever had. So for her dressing up, for her dressing up, you know, pants with an elastic waistband and a jacket from Walmart was, that's fine.
And that's fine, but I mean, and that's what I'm saying. All of that to me. Fine, but then if you are coming in with a skirt or you are coming in with whatever, because you're not dressing with elastic band, you know, whatever, then it's like, well, you know, again, the comment that comes with that. And even if that's the only job you've ever known, even if, you know, nobody else, you know, whatever, I feel like people should be allowed the space to show up the way that they want to show up. Not, I mean, as long as it's, you know, not crazy.
Well, wait, let me just say something about elastic pants. No shade to elastic pants. Quite frankly, if I could figure out a way to incorporate maybe not elastic waistbands, but yoga pant waistbands or maternity waistbands
into
my outfits,
that's real.
The move. But I can't figure out a way to do that where I could still tuck my blouses in and wear a belt.
That's why I wear more dresses and skirts.
I was about to say, that's one of the reasons why I wear dresses and maxi dresses.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm, they are way more comfortable, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's real.
I really just thought about all of that because I was seeing what Caitlin was going through. I was, you know, looking at her going through the puberty, you know, thing where they talk about the transilla, but they kind of likened it to the girl going through adolescence, then kind of looking at teenagers trying to find their way, seeing them, and some of the comments and some of the things that happen in the workplace being almost some of the same comments that you see happening at school, not to mention, and we even didn't, we're, you know, close to wrapping up, but we actually had a conversation in WhatsApp earlier today talking about just even how school discipline differs.
Mm-hmm.
Girls and the way that they show up in certain situations as opposed to others, not necessarily meaning that, for example, the way one girl may respond may be just as disrespectful, but it's not as blatant. So the discipline for her may be different to someone who is showing up in another way. And I just thought about how all of that even just comes around to when we become adults and how are we conditioning our girls.
But the girls, that ties into the other WhatsApp conversation we had with the other group about customer service and how, you know, people are quick to, like, call a little black girl, you know, fast, nasty, you know, she got a little nasty attitude, yada, yada, yada. But a white girl will do and give worse service and a worse attitude, but give a little cutesy, cutesy voice, and yet she is not, she or the white organization isn't deemed like just piss poor. Whereas we're quick to say, oh, that's the black blank, and I went in there and the girl, you know, she just gave me my fries. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what she was supposed to do.
The other thing I saw happening on Twitter that a lot of the black women were talking about is that in the workplace, they are not necessarily seen as friendly because a lot of them keep their personal business to themselves. And so they don't necessarily show up in the way that some of their coworkers do. And when they're given evaluations, they are said, even though they're doing all the team stuff, like they're, you know, whatever. But there was one girl where I think at one point somebody made a comment to where she didn't have pictures of her family,
mm-hmm.
You know, or whatever on her desk. So she wasn't seen as open and friendly as other people, you know, who were doing some of the similar things. And they were saying, well, it's your attitude. And she was like, but every morning I come in, I'm buying, you know, stuff for the team. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But because I'm not talking about my boyfriend dumping me for the neighbor the day before, you know, those kind of conversations, because she doesn't feel comfortable with them, then she's seen as having a nasty attitude.
But so there's a way around that. They love to talk about themselves. So get them talking about themselves. And I promise you, you could ask them, well, did you? Yeah, so whatever happened with training your dog? And you literally could make your grocery list in your head, calculate tax for said grocery list, and go like, now are you, really? Well, what are you going to do next week? Well, what's his next class? And it makes you seem so much, so friendly and so thoughtful. And, you know, you're really a team player and a listener. You don't know what the hell they just said, and all you gotta do is know their dog's name and one of their three kids. You only have to know all three of them. That's it. And you don't really have to listen to details. Like I said, make your grocery list in your head. That's it.
Yeah. And prosper. Go ahead.
Oh no, I just said and prosper in these corporate streets.
Buddha, you got any tips on being friendlier in the workplace?
I definitely am a listener anyway as an introvert, so I don't pretend to not be a listener, but I will ask questions, you know, and nod and smile, but yeah, I don't.
Now, if they're telling a good story, I'm in on that.
Yeah, I'll listen, but I'm just not a sharer by nature, so I don't I'm doing anything special just because I'm at work.
Yeah, I'm not a sharer at work either, and I socialize less than I did. Maybe 5 years ago, I socialized more with coworkers than I do now. But one thing that I noticed that I do, and I've talked to you guys about this, is that and it's not even necessarily with coworkers, but when people come into my office, I make sure that I make eye contact, that I have a pleasant expression, that I do a lot of acknowledging of people's presence. And that seems to give the impression that I'm friendly, even though I'm a severe introvert and I'd rather be, you know, left alone. But it gives the impression that I am open and warm. And that's one of those things, going back to the femininity piece, is that when I do feel connected to my femininity, because I feel the energy change, I feel people connecting to me in a feminine sense, like I have settled them or I have nurtured them, just by my expression or just by my connecting and acknowledging them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do those things. I do that in social settings when I'm not really interested in, like I needed to make a good impression on somebody. It wasn't professional, it was just a social. And I did the same thing. You know, I didn't talk a lot, but I asked questions, mm-hmm. smiled and nodded and leaned in, you know, as genuinely as I could. I wasn't trying to be fake. I just don't like those situations. So,
but there's nothing wrong with being fake. Fake gets you where you want to go easier, quicker.
but not when you're noticeably fake.
Right, yeah. Not when you're, I mean, you've got to know how to do it, but this whole idea that people need to keep it real at work, that's the last place you need to keep it real. You yeah. think my coworkers have ever, well, now my current coworkers, they've heard this voice. But my other coworkers, they've never heard this voice. Now, I mean, they don't know that I, you know, write I'apostrophe O-N-T. That doesn't suit me in that environment. You know, right. It's part of, like, you know, code switching.
I was just about to say code mm-hmm. switching. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the way we talk to each other is definitely not the way that I show up at work. I mean, mm-hmm. it's, you know, and I don't think that's necessarily being fake. I just think that there is a time and a place for different parts, for me to reveal different parts of myself. There are layers.
Yeah.
When did fake get such a negative connotation? There's no way that you're showing up for Sunday service the same way you showed up for Saturday at the club.
Well, I think that's what we said before. Like, that's not fake at all. That's just
child. You ain't seen the women who showing up Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think that's fake at all, though. I still think that's you being authentic. It's just you being authentic to that situation. Yeah, it's not the same as fake to me. That's different.
Exactly. Like, when you have layers, it means that you have different parts of yourself instead of being a completely different onion. You know?
Mm-hmm. So. You're not lying about who you are. You're just presenting this face that's appropriate for this circumstance.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying a lot of people have that twisted. Like, oh, why should I be someone different at work or because of to impress so-and-so? No, it's not about impress so-and-so. It's about getting what you want.
Or why can't I say this cuss word in my head in this situation and in this situation? If I choose not to say the curse word in my head, I'm being fake. No, that doesn't necessarily mean
you're being strategic.
Right. You're being smart. You're code switching. You're being multilingual. You're contributing to the dialogue appropriately. You're exhibiting good executive function. I mean, you're just thinking.
Way to break it down like it ain't been brought or broken, rather.
Or even when you don't read the supplemental text, she's still breaking down. Well, y'all, it's almost coming up on 9 o'clock. So, do y'all have any cheers and whatnot for the folks?
Do I have any cheers? I don't have any cheers, but I do want to send prayers out to our sorors who were killed in that tractor trailer accident going to Martha's Vineyard. So I wish I had their names. I'm sorry. I closed out. I erased the message or whatever that had their names in it. But, yeah, way to bring down the crowd.
No, prayers to their families and loved ones. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you?
They can find me on the Twitter at, that's not me, at think_P_smart.
Buddha, what you got?
I think I'm going to give a shout out to Nicole Hannah-Jones, who is a journalist and education reporter, and she recently did part one of an episode of This American Life where she did The Problem We All Live With, and she was talking about integration and segregation and closing the achievement gap, and it was really interesting and good. And part two is out right now, and that's by a different journalist. But anyway, she did a really nice job, and I want to read more of her work. So that's Nicole Hannah-Jones. But you can catch me on Twitter at NDCHARP. That's NDC Harp, like the instrument. Or my website, CocoStudio.com, C-O-C-O Studio, singular, CocoStudio.com.
Yeah, because she's a singular. Yeah. And my cheers actually go out to my godies who are their brother and sister and my godchildren. They're celebrating their birthdays this month. There's one who's I think 4 years old, and the other one is in middle school. And I love the way that they show up with their true authentic selves. So I just wanted to give them cheers for their birthdays. And you guys can find me on Twitter at SOJOXOXO. That's like Sojo Hugs and Kisses. Or you can find me on my website, which is SOJOXO.me. That's SOJOXO.ME. And you can find us collectively on our Twitter handle, which is at Whiskey Wine Moon. If you Google Whiskey Wine and Moonshine, you can find us everywhere: iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, Facebook, all that good stuff. But our website is whiskeywineandmoonshine.com. You guys can also, and I forgot to say this at the top of the show, donate your social media accounts, or also hit that donate button for PayPal, and you guys can donate to the show financially to help keep the party going. But we do want to thank you guys for tuning in this week, and we will see you all next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
And you can say what you want, I'm the shit. I'm the shit, I'm the shit, I'm the shit. I want everyone to feel like this.